Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to awaken to the truth of your soul? Welcome to today's episode of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show with your host, Nadia Khalil.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to today's show. Today is already March 28th, 2018. It's just going along. We are at 5:30 in the morning in L.A. It's always a good time because I think it's the only time that's actually quiet. And then it just starts to go from there. But it's a great time because that's when my mind, I guess, is most awake. And waking up to our shows has just been awesome. The show about exes yesterday just went crazy. And I'm glad that I'm doing a second part to it because we need to revisit a lot of the things that we just think there's only one way to deal with. And can you stay friends with your ex? Well, it's really hard. And yesterday I was walking in the hallway of our building and there's a young man. He's in his middle 30s and he is an attorney and he's single. And there's a woman that lives right down the hall from him, but they're behind me, so I never saw where they live. And every time they come out into the hallway and I would see them together, I thought they were married. And so all along, and I would tell my son, you know, gosh, you know, they're such a good-looking couple, this and that. And it turns out, no, she has a boyfriend, he has a girlfriend. Kind of different scenarios that I've been seeing that, you know, they're neighbors. So yesterday I saw them both together and then she went out the front door and I told them how I thought they were married when we first moved in and they were laughing. Everyone got a laugh out of it. And then we were walking down the hallway and he said, you know, I never did listen to your radio show. I'm going to listen tomorrow, which is today. And I said, oh, wow, that's so cool. And I told him the topic is, can you stay friends with your ex, I guess. And then I made a joke, you know, you guys are exes and whatever, but they'd never gone out. So he said, first thing he said was, that's usually not good for a current relationship. That's usually a big threat to someone you're dating now. And I said, well, you would know well, you're a guy and you're single. And most of the time when people stay friends, usually a lot of it depends on the guy or the girl understanding that the relationship ended. And he believed that most of the time one of the two wasn't quite so sure that they wanted that relationship to end. And unless it was a mutual decision, it probably wasn't going to be an overall good thing to try to go out of your way to sustain. So I thought, wow, that was just like really great, thoughtful thinking. He must have thought about this a lot. And it has been a fluke that two exes can be friends. And I really took to heart what he said. What does it take for two souls who've been in a relationship to be able to sustain a friendship? How does that affect all the friends they had, that they shared, that they met through each other? And unless there were children together, everyone will continue to think, something's going on between those two. Why don't they stay together? Why don't whatever? Even they may think it from time to time. Because if there are not children involved, it's hard for the two of you to go on in new relationships. You may be able to hang out and be friends in the transitionary period or whatever it is in the way we have things set up now. But this is something to think about. Is that only way, and I know I asked Christ, so I'll tell you what Christ said in a minute, but how do you create that smooth transition? why does the model that we live by have to be so problematic that, you know, you love someone and then you can never talk to them again, or you never talk to them again? And I remember they wrote that song about how I used to be able to talk to you, and now I can't even, you know, I used to tell you I love you. I can't even say hi now. But it really is an uncomfortable situation overall. So when I asked Christ, which I thought was the most interesting part of this whole thing, because, you know, I love how objective Christ is all the time, and literally all the time. There's never like a down day where Christ is not that objective. And it's very interesting for me to see how sometimes the things we don't think about were right under our noses. And the one thing he said, the first thing he said, do that right away. Don't do it right away. You have to give it time. You have to get far enough away from the relationship to begin to appreciate that you had that relationship. Because that's when you'll know that you had, not have currently, the relationship, that it has already been outgrown. And he used the word outgrown because that is what it looks like from home when we are no longer with somebody. That's what it looks like. Doesn't look like they got in a fight and she's so bad and he's so bad and this happened and that happened. You outgrew it. Not even evolved out of it. Not even anything. Just outgrew it. And when Christ used the word outgrew, it literally healed anything I used to think wasn't okay. Because the fact that I could see in a relationship that something wasn't okay, enough to where there had to be a separation, I always felt bad. I always felt guilty, like this weird feeling for not, you know, being able to stay and take it, whatever it is the person was throwing at me. And yet, when Christ said outgrown, I went, huh, that's exactly what really happened. The people that we are no longer with aren't so bad that no one else in the world is going to fall in love with them. Of course somebody will. And it's their job. They're growing. They're knowing, they're learning, just like it is ours. So when Christ said, do it after a length of time, and not like a month, but maybe 6 months, maybe a year, however long it takes for you to go back, appreciate, not complain about, appreciate why you were there in the first place. And the third thing he said was once you hit the point of objectivity, then you will know. You'll know. Once you can say, I dated so-and-so, this is what I learned. I was married to so-and-so, and this is what I learned. So there was another thing Christ was showing me. And he took me back to when I was in the early 70s, not even the late 70s, the very early 70s. And it was before I was 10 years old. And he reminded me we had one family on our whole block. One family, one woman with two kids. She was from Germany. She had two boys that was divorced. I just remember her because she's the only person I knew other than a cousin of mine when I was a little bit younger than that, where a divorce took place. So throughout my entire childhood, I knew two people who were divorced. I remember sitting in an assembly at school, and we had a speaker, and his name was Leo Biscaglia. And Leo Biscaglia was like a pop psychologist at the time. But he was really growing wings, and he was talking to people in high schools. Think about that. And he said to us that one out of every two of you sitting down is going to experience divorce. And we all looked at each other like, why? And especially in the Midwest where you get married young, you have kids young, everything happens young, all the way down the pike. And he said, look at the person next to you. They're going to be divorced. So at first I said, well, this person on my right side will be, this person on my left side will be. But then I was somebody's right side and I was somebody's left side. And he was right. How he knew that, I don't know. He's no longer living now, but he did. When I moved to California, I was in line. I think I told you guys the story where I was in line at Vons, which is a grocery store out here, and he was in front of me. He was in front. I wish I had. I was too shy at that time to talk to him. Now I probably would have beat him down and told him all this stuff, but then I had nothing to say. And it would have been so cool if he knew that I heard him speak in Oak Lawn, Illinois. But he said that. I don't know how he knew, but it was true. And also, not only one divorce have I personally experienced, but people are now living longer, life is more pressured, more stressed, personalities need to be a little bit more specific. We now know there's types of people. Back then, we would just say, oh, the husband does this or that, or the wife does this and that. We never called them narcissistic, or we never called them any kinds of names, like, oh, they have anger issues, or oh, they're an alcoholic, or all that was hidden. Nobody even talked about it, which was why a lot of marriages stayed together. Because being apart, getting divorced, had such a social ugh to it that nobody wanted to be that person. Unless it was so bad that they had to be. But really what was happening was that everybody outgrew not only each other, but our marriages have now become business contracts. And even in this day and age, I know people who are not divorcing because of finances. So now it's not a social stigma, and it's not only that we've outgrown each other, but there are some men, when they realize what will happen, cannot do it. I know because I'm helping them. But to stay friends. And there's people who have been married who still, you know, travel in the same social circles. I mean, they don't, like, hang out every night and go to movies, but they're cordial, they're nice. Some, I know, you know, couples who've dated way, way in the past who are able to be really kind of best friends as adults later on in life, especially in gaps when you're not dating somebody because you already know them. There's a trust there. The fact that you didn't destroy each other at the end of the relationship builds your trust further. The feelings may not be romantic anymore. The feelings may have been outgrown. The lessons may have been outgrown. But you learn reconciliation. You learn it. And I can tell you now that when you have that, even if the friendship only lasts for a short time, the fact that you were able to go back and see that person objectively, not as someone you love, that you're bringing into your life, that you're intimate with, is much physically and emotionally, you learn so much about yourself, you will not even believe it. Because what happens is, when you can look at that person objectively, you will realize you've outgrown each other. Like, wow, what we had was great. What we learned was great. And even understanding that we learned that and were able to go on is great. Wow, I must be a great person. And so are they. Because it's an achievement, and you look at each other and you say, hey, wow, we went over that hurdle, even if it takes 10 years to get over that hurdle. You will feel that. When I was first married, my marriage that was arranged in its way, and we broke up, he kept asking for the divorce. I never thought of getting divorced. And one day I got so tired of him threatening with divorce, I agreed with him. Struck me so heavily that I just passed out. I literally fell on the floor. I remember, just like if someone pulled a string out of my head, I went down. I could still hear everything. It wasn't like I passed out and went unconscious. I think I was just so skinny at the time, and I didn't have anything on me. I was like under 100 pounds, and I literally just fell, because I'm not naturally under 100 pounds, but I was then, because I was so sad. And then all of a sudden, he was compassionate, like, not right away. Right away, he was still very mean, even while I was on the ground, because I could still hear. So never assume that somebody who's passed out can't hear. They can hear everything. But about 5 years, 6 years, 7 years, 8 years, 9 years of me listening to what he says to the kids about me, what he says to other people about me, following me, scaring me, all that. I thought to myself, that is not okay. My kids are going to grow up with their dad talking really bad about their mom. And that broke my heart, that that was going to be what my kids were going to have for the rest of their lives. And so after divorced from Sterling, because Sterling and I, we never had a chance at marriage, but we are very good friends, because he got sick right when we got married. We didn't even have 5 months under our belt, and he was sick. And he had complications of leukemia, and he had hip surgeries and all this, and that's when the book was done. That's when he edited the book. It was amazing. It was like that strike of lightning, that this had to be done, and it had to be done a certain way, and it was the only way it could have been. And when I needed to divorce Sterling, when we needed to go through that, I loved Sterling, still do till this day. And I went to, if you can imagine this, the man that was talking so bad about me, I went to him. I told him, my husband is sick. He's finally getting better. My mom was dying. My mom had had an aneurysm at the time. If you could imagine, I lost my dad. Then my mom had the aneurysm, and I had Sterling sick, and I had to take him in a wheelchair to Chicago when my dad was passing. And then my mom had the aneurysm still while we were married. I mean, those were the four most tumultuous years of my life. And I said, I need some money to help them move with honor. We've all been through a lot. My mom is sick. I have to go continuously back and forth to see her. And I need some money to make sure that they have a good place to live. And I wanted to make sure they had everything they needed. And you know what happened? He gave it to me. And I helped them move. And I set them up and I made sure they were okay. And I went back and I helped them set everything up. And I made sure we bought whatever we needed to buy or give them whatever I had. We parted with such great love. We didn't have the words yet to say this was outgrown, but we knew that the whole purpose of the two of us getting together, we knew it the whole time, was to put the books together with love. We knew, and we outgrew. And just like Christ said, there is a lot of appreciation. There is only objectivity left between us. But it also healed my first relationship. And then I became friends with my first husband at that time. And who healed from that was my kids. You can always to the fork in the road and repave it with love. There isn't a deadline of when you can go back and repave it with love. You can always go back to the fork in the road and repave it with love. You can. And in the hardest, weirdest, I mean, there were no physical abuses and all of that kind of stuff to where we could never see each other again. But not wanting children to hear the language, that stereotypical cliche type language that seems to come in a pre-package that says divorce on it, and you rip the label off and open the package, and you have all these awful things to say about someone. I never wanted to hear that again. And when they saw their father treat me with respect again, they healed. After that time, and it was for years, I went on vacations with them. We went on numerous dinners with them. Every once in a while, he'd flare up and get mad at me that we weren't together. But I took it. I didn't date for a while because I didn't want to cause friction for a long time. Because that was more important to me than anything else. Was that healing? And healing doesn't come easy. You need to participate. But it comes. And it makes a difference in who you are every single day for the rest of your life. So once time has passed, once appreciation can set in, once objectivity comes in and you say, wow, this person taught me this, 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 and this, you know. You know that you've outgrown it. You know that you've now grown past it. You know that you can look back at that relationship with happiness. You may not have each other over for dinner all the time or go out all the time. But there's this feeling that Oh, it's not like, oh, there's my ex and now my new person and I have to hate them. Because you're really telling, like we said yesterday, the other person what your end is going to look like with them. And right now, when I think of it that way, even if, you know, you never talk to someone again, but you part with a sense of love that you had when you walked into the relationship, it breeds itself as a strength in you rather than this punishment that you failed at a relationship. Because that's why we blame other people. We blame them because it's really hard to accept that. It's really hard to say, I may have had something to do with that. I know in my first marriage, I had a lot to do with it because I didn't understand. And I was silent instead of fighting back, instead of saying, hey, that's weird. I was a lot, you know, not a lot younger, but younger. And I thought, you know, he was older and already graduated from college. This is my small brain at the time. So he's smarter than me. So I just listened and I did my best to listen. I didn't understand that personality type. I didn't even understand that kind of person. So was it his fault entirely? I can't say that. Was it my fault? No. We outgrew each other. That's my new word. I love that word. We did what we had to do. If it weren't for him, if you want to talk about appreciation and objectivity, I would have never started writing to God. I would have never written the books. I had to be attacked so hard that I had to find a way to cope. And because I wasn't screaming back at him, I was asking God questions like, what the heck? What the heck, God? What is this? It's not my idea of what I thought marriage was. How could a woman love the man she's with and have two kids and have a home and have this and have that and not be happy? How could the man not be happy? How could he complain? And I'd keep trying to make sure there was nothing to complain about. All I wanted was to feel loved. So did he. So do you. So does everybody else on earth. But the way we love is where we get all messed up. But we're evolving into a period of time in life where we don't have to hate each other, bring each other down for loving each other. Imagine that. We're already there. We're just learning what that looks like. We're just learning how that feels. It really is a better world. There really is greater understanding. And this is where Liam writes, does this apply to friendships that broke up in bad circumstances, Nadia? It applies to everything, but everything needs its time. You cannot force it. You always know when. We're learning to trust our gut feelings. And sometimes it just teaches us where we don't have time to be, where we may have thought we had time. You guys, it's already time to go. Tomorrow is Dream Team Thursday. I'll see you then. I love you so very much. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to today's Daily Dose of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show. To learn more, visit www.nadiakhalil.com.